give people who haven't done the work or haven't been in the desert a feel for what it's like to be there.
The story behind one big employer for Chilkat Valley residents, research in the Mojave Desert, and more senior housing for Haines residents in the future. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news coming up.
Senior housing is expanding in Haines, but not necessarily to original plans. Five apartments are currently under construction at Haines Assisted Living. However, instead of assisted living, like the remainder of the facility, the units will be available for low-income, independent living occupants. Funding sources for the expansion were a contributing factor to the change in plan. According to Vince Hansen, administrator for Haines Assisted Living, the initial building plan called for a larger structure based on market surveys. However, funding sources wanted them to be more conservative. Haines Assisted Living thought they could have cost efficiencies with 12 units, but determined the initial building, a little over a year old now, would contain 10. The board determined additional units would be added on later. In the search for funding the later addition, federal funding in the form of a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, grant, Section 202, became the viable source, calling for independent living units, not assisted. While the original facility of 10 units was under construction in the fall of 2008, they determined to pursue this HUD funding to maximize the property and contribute towards serving as many elders as they could there. Hansen explains how this change will still fit into the plans.
These HUD project funds allowed independent living, and we thought that that would still fit into our plans because it could be a good complement. It would provide more interaction for the residents that live here, and it might be able to provide transitional services to them in case they might want to need more, they may need more later. They might move here after a while if they advance in their needs. So basically that little stamp that we had on our plans, or that little empty area we designed as independent living, and HUD was able to fund it for us.
This change in funding created the need for a new entity with a separate board of directors.
We had to actually set up a whole different corporation to build that project. It was required by HUD. So there's another organization. It's called St. Lucie's Senior Living, and it's set up under all of the HUD rules, and the project is being built according to all of the HUD requirements, and it'll be operated in accordance with HUD requirements. They'll pay Haines Assisted Living a small management fee to take care of the, you know, the eligibility and rents and those kinds of things, and making sure maintenance is done and whatnot. But no, it's actually a separate entity.
The $1 million construction project is managed in Juneau with Dan Austin as project manager. As the expansion continues, Haines Assisted Living is still accepting applications for the current facility, which is not full. They have had up to 7 people living there. Presently, 2 rooms are set aside for people who are Medicaid eligible. The facility became Medicaid eligible about 6 months into their operations. Hansen said current Medicaid programs may pay for folks at home that still might be just getting by, but probably should be in assisted living. He related families can be part of the decision process of when to move. Whether in the assisted living side or the newer independent side, the philosophy of both facilities is that Haines elders stay in Haines. Although not lower income, Haines Senior Village, the other senior apartments in Haines, currently has 6 single applicants waiting for a 1-bedroom unit and 6 applications for 2-bedroom units. No one has moved out in a year. Otherwise, elders may have to move elsewhere.
They're such a precious resource. We want them to stay here, and what I'm seeing is we're still going to lose some folks that have to go elsewhere to have their care addressed. Probably aware that right now the senior housing here in Haines, there's a waiting list for that, so we're going to help address the backlog of people, of seniors that need housing in Haines.
The independent apartments of St. Lucie's Senior Living should be open in March or April. Construction should be concluded then, but HUD will need to certify the units. So come spring, Haines Assisted Living will be providing housing for folks at various income and care levels, and Haines elders will have more choices to stay in Haines. Reporting for KHNS, this is Georgia Jacoby. Thank you.
say, if you want to meet a real Alaskan in the wintertime, just go to Hawaii. But you might also try the Mojave Desert, where dozens of Haines residents have spent their weeks studying tortoises off and on for the last 20 years.
This fall, I handled a couple of tortoises that were originally marked 40 years ago.
Researcher and Haines resident Tim Shields explains that the tortoise research runs spring and fall around the Mojave Desert in the general area of southeastern California. Since 1991, somewhere from 30 to 35 locals have spent time roaming with the tortoises in that barren region, building a bank of research on the desert tortoise. That presentation in Haines on Wednesday night will explain why they do it, how they do it, and show what life is like there for so many of our neighbors.
I've got some really good footage of rattlesnakes, and I've got an amazing story to tell of watching a non-poisonous snake capture a meal, and I'll just leave it at that. But there's some pretty cool footage I've got. There are going to be incredible photos of wildflowers. If someone just wants a hit of color, they should show up as well.
The photos, video, and anecdotes in Wednesday's presentation provide a snapshot of the long-running work in the desert among people whose other address is the often frozen north.
And I also want to talk about what it's like to live in the desert in the field, because so many people from Haines do this work. I want to give people who haven't done the work or haven't been in the desert a feel for what it's like to be there. So those are sort of the themes that are going to run through the talk.
The research is based around the discovery that tortoise populations in the Southwest are in decline. The research group often uses radio transmitters that are attached to the tortoise's shells to gather reptiles, collect blood samples, and study transmission of disease among them.
We also are doing a lot of work with trend studies, which are repeated visitations to plots over, say, at about a four-year interval, to see what population trends are happening on at specific locations through the desert, and using that information to sort of infer what the general population trends are. And one thing I do want to talk about, I'll spend some time on this, is the fact that we have just discovered a population that appears to be increasing. It's the first time since 1980 that I've seen any evidence of a population increase among desert tortoises. So that's a very interesting thing, and we're going to be spending a fair bit of time in the future, I think, studying that population to see what's going on there. Yeah, it was really neat to be there.
Shields has extensive experience, about 33 years of it, and even more interest in the tortoise work. He's now working on a book that details his tortoise time over the decades.
My life is pretty deeply interwoven with this species. It's definitely my favorite creature on the planet. So, it was really heartening to run across this population, and I'm very curious scientifically, but also, you know, I'm emotionally drawn to going back to that place just because things are looking good there. And so I'm wondering if it's a harbinger of a wider spread recovery, or is it a fluke? And there are questions we can ask and field research we can do to start to determine that. But yeah, I've spent my whole life studying tortoises and intend to keep doing it.
The 15 or so people who are working regularly in the desert now live part of their year in an ecosystem that includes mostly reptiles and birds and fewer mammals.
The talk is part of the Living in the Forest series, but this is living anywhere but the forest. And so it's shrubby. The shrubs are sparsely distributed, so there's a lot of open ground. In the spring, when there have been good rains, there's an intense bloom of annual flowers, and so the place gets very colorful and very beautiful. But in the fall, it's quite brown and dull colored. There's a lot of bare rock, and so you get to see geology much more clearly. The skies tend to be clear blue or just with a few clouds in contrast to this. And of course, aridity is the characteristic of the desert. And so it's very dry, can be hot, can be very cold. And the Mojave Desert tends to be very windy. So wind in the video clips I'm going to show, there's a lot of background wind just because the wind blows most of the time down there.
The Free Tortoise Talk, which will discuss life studying a rare reptile in the Mojave Desert, an occupation many Haines residents have had over the past two decades, is Wednesday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at the Hainesboro Public Library.
To me, it's a fascinating place, and the longer I study it, the deeper my fascination for the place is, because I understand it better over time. But the thing I've learned is that I'm scratching the surface right now. The place, I mean, you can go so deep in ecology, in studying the interrelationships between animals and their environment, that, you know, 30 years is nothing. We have a basic understanding of tortoises, but every year I see stuff that just completely blows me away and makes me rearrange my thinking about them, which is exciting, and that's why I keep doing it.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. If you want to catch your news online, go to khns.org. Click on the Listen tab or listen to older newscasts under Archives.